Hello, hello, and welcome to the Roadmap to Revenues. This is our weekly Wednesday training and live Q&A call for ambitious entrepreneurs ready to scale from six to seven figures. Each week, I'll be diving into different business training topics designed to uplevel both you as the CEO of your business, but also your results. I'm Sue Clement, and I'm excited that you're here today and listening in, whether it's live or in the replay. Today, we're talking all about how to build revenue momentum, how to build revenue momentum. You know, and I love this topic because momentum is so key to business success. If we don't have momentum, what happens is we're doing that stop, start, stutter, stop, start, stutter, and we're spending so much energy and effort that we're actually kind of limiting our success. We're holding ourselves back because we're killing our momentum. And, you know, when we build momentum, it is key to building our revenues. It's key to accelerating our growth. And what's really crazy about momentum is when you get a little of it, it accelerates. It expands, and so you get more and more and more and more, and of course, that's the core of what we want to have with our revenues. We want more and more and more and more. So after working with entrepreneurs for the last 20 years, and also being mentored by some of the best in the industry, I've had a front row seat and really watching what works and what doesn't work and what some things we can do to up-level our success. And definitely momentum is key to your success. So if you're listening in live, I just want to give you some kind of rules to get us started, that is. If you have a question, you can press star 2 on your phone pad, and you'll be able to ask your questions. And, of course, if you are listening in through the broadcast, then you can go to the broadcast and I'm monitoring my chat today. You can post your name and say that you're here and introduce yourself. So that's something you can do with the chat, and also you can post your questions. And Megan, my assistant, is not here today, so I'm kind of multitasking as I go. So hopefully I can get that going. So if you are here, please say hello. Let us know that you're here, and you can post your questions right there on the Q&A box, and so when we get to the question and answer later on, you'll be able to ask your questions, and we'll dive in and do some questions as we go, but that's a little bit later on. All right, so let me just, I'm going to do one more thing here. I just want to make sure everyone gets this. So posting this, it's funny, I'm really multitasking, I'm missing Megan today. Let me go one more thing, and then we'll be good to go. Oh, see, there's more buttons than I think to all of this. All right, so let's dive in. So momentum is key. And, you know, one of the things I really work with my clients a lot on is how to get them into momentum and then how to keep it going. Because I mentioned earlier when we stutter and stop and start and stutter and stop, and we kind of delay our success. We make things way harder than they need to be. You know, I remember when I was a kid, I used to love doing this. You're running down a hill. You know, you're running along and you're running down a hill and your arms are way out and you're running, and sooner or later, like the hill just carries you on and your little legs are going faster and faster and faster and you can barely keep up. Well, that's momentum. You know, it just drives you forward. It pulls you forward. And in business, it would be great if we had momentum pulling us forward, bringing us more and more and more clients, more and more and more revenue. And that's really the goal, is how do we get into that pattern, and then how do we keep it going? And, you know, it's almost too, there's another piece to momentum other than just speed. That definitely is part of it. But the other piece of it is mass. And volume, and actually, you know, there's the actual physics kind of language about this is mass, and I looked it up. Here it goes: mass and velocity are both directly proportional to momentum. If you increase either mass or velocity, you see I can't read very well, but if you increase either mass or velocity, the momentum of the object increases proportionally. You'll double the mass or double the velocity, you'll double the momentum. And it's really cool because when we think of business, obviously velocity is speed, but mass is amount. So the more money you make, the more money you'll make. I know it sounds crazy, but it does work. Think of a snowball. When I was a kid, I lived in Edmonton. I grew up in Edmonton, and, of course, making snowmen was kind of the fun thing to do. And you'd start with this little hand-sized piece of snow. And you put it on the ground, and you'd start rolling it. And you didn't have to roll it very far. Like, you'd just roll it like 5 feet, and all of a sudden, you went from this little ball of snow into having a huge, big boulder size, you know, base for your snowman. And momentum does that for us. It actually speeds things up, but it also expands things at the same time. So momentum can create motivation, and motivation creates opportunities, and opportunities create results. So that's the other piece of momentum as well. Not only does it accelerate and expand our business, but it actually, it's like that success breeds more success. When we have the success happening, when things are moving forward, when we're fluid, when we're in flow with our business, it makes it very attractive for us to get more of that. You know, and, you know, here's the other thing, too, is momentum is not just action. It's not just activity. You know, it's not busy work. And that's one thing I want to point out, because a lot of us think, well, I'm really busy. And we think that that's momentum, but it really isn't. You know, momentum is productive work. It's being on task. Momentum has a certain focus and actually intensity to it, and it's absolutely very strategic. So, you know, we have to kind of look at it from a different perspective about, oh, I just need to do more activities. This is not about doing more activities. This is not about, you know, being busier. That's really not what we're trying to do. What we're trying to do is actually find a way to accelerate what we're doing and expand what we're doing without necessarily even doing more activity. It's not really about how much activity we can do. It's about the results that we can gather from the activity that we have. You know, one of the comments that my dad used to always say to me, and I didn't like it very much. This is back when I had my employment agency, and it was a business that I had, and I grew it from startup to a multi-million dollar company and then sold the business. But in those early years, Dad would always warn me that clients are never standing still. In other words, clients are either they're coming or they're going. They're either getting more, in, you know, attached, or I shouldn't say in love, but, you know what I mean, like they're loving your services more. They're getting happier. They're getting, you know, happy. They're moving towards you in a bigger way, or they're shrinking back. And, you know, it was an interesting conversation I had with Dad once, because it's true. Clients really are never static. Business is never static. It's either expanding or it's shrinking. And so we have to really think about this, is that if we want to have expand all the time, we need to really focus on the momentum that we're creating and how can we multiply that, because momentum is your multiplier factor, so that we can get going on it. And the tough thing is that getting momentum started is really the difficult thing. You know, there's that comment that, what is it, objects in motion stay in motion. Well, guess what? Objects at rest stay at rest. Dang, that's unfortunate. We really don't want them to stay at rest. We want to have them moving forward. We want to always have more momentum so that we're expanding as we go. And so it's one thing to really consider is that how do you get the momentum started? How do you get it, you know, going, but then how do we keep it going? So there's a few factors in all of that. And I pulled together 7 different things to think about. So let's go through those. The first one is that consistency is king. Yeah. Consistency will make or break your momentum. And this is where I think a lot of us often fall down. We start to do something and we might have success and you think that we'd keep doing it then, but other things get in the way. It's so easy to derail ourselves. It's so easy to get distracted with other things. It's so easy to kind of take your hands off the wheel for a moment and go, wee, and kind of get swept away with it. Sometimes when we get momentum, we might be surprised by it, and we don't always have everything in order to be able to handle the volume of business, the new business that might be coming in. But here's the thing is that if you aren't consistent, you'll lose it. And that's where we get the start, stop, stutter, start, stop, stutter, which is really the killer of momentum. You know, without consistency, you really can't build momentum. You really need to have things happening in a consistent way. And so part of that then begs the question of, when you decide to do something, can you actually, do you have the bandwidth? Can you actually continue to do something? That's a consideration. So, for example, if you start blogging or start a podcast or start email marketing or social media, if you start any of those marketing things, if you can't consistently keep them up, then you're probably doing yourself more damage than good by sporadically doing them. We really want to always have that consistency in place. And when we think of our marketing, consistency is so key to success in marketing. Like one email isn't going to, you know, change your business. Going to one networking event in the past wouldn't make a difference. Going to doing one webinar isn't going to do it. It really is about consistency and driving that consistency, and that's what builds momentum. You know, and sometimes we don't need a lot of things because small efforts or small activities done consistently will give you the biggest impact. And so right there you should hear some things kind of beneath the consistency point of view and think about, are you trying to do too many things? Do you have too much on your plate? Are you complicating yourself instead of simplifying and narrowing it down? It's almost the difference between a flashlight and a laser light. You know, a flashlight is a broad beam, but it doesn't really do anything. With a laser, that same little bit of light can cut through glass or stone. So we really want to narrow down our focus so that we laser in, so that we have that laser effect and that we can consistently do it. Because if you try and do too many things and you do none of them well and none of them consistently, you're not going to be making the bigger impact in your business. And it's probably costing you're investing the same amount of effort or time, and sometimes actually you're investing more effort and time trying to do too many things. So that consistency is really about narrowing things down so that you can consistently persist in doing them. You can commit to doing them on a consistent basis. So that's number one. Number two is always focus on relentless implementation. And that's kind of the key with consistency. Now we need to implement. You know, we can think about things. We can daydream things. We can plan things. We can have all sorts of great ideas. But unless we're consistently doing them and implementing them, we're not really going to move ourselves forward. Action creates momentum, and momentum creates results. So what actions can you take to create that momentum? You know, inertia is the energy it takes to get started. If we think about launching a rocket, you know, it takes so much energy to get it launched. But once it gets going and it gets up in the atmosphere, it just kind of drifts along forever and ever and ever. You know, we have satellites up there. They've been up there for decades. Well, think of that for your business, is that inertia that it takes to get started. So whether you're starting a new marketing venture, whether you're saying, okay, I'm going to start doing a podcast, or I'm going to start doing some email marketing, or I'm going to, you know, start doing this call is a weekly training call. At the beginning, there takes so much more effort, but we have to be relentless about doing the effort so we get the result. And one of the sidebars on that I just want to mention is that focus on progress will help us get through that tough time. You know, sometimes our progress just is little, but that's okay as long as we're always progressing, as long as we're always moving forward. You know, random marketing isn't going to cut it for you. You need to have a consistent, relentless implementation of your marketing. So don't worry about doing everything. Just do a few things really, really well. That will make the biggest bang for your buck. Okay, number three, and this is a good one for us. It's a good reminder, certainly for me, and that is don't be the bottleneck of your momentum. You know, you need to leverage yourself as soon as possible. Leverage yourself as soon as possible. And when I talk about leveraging yourself, it really is about leveraging your time and energy and effort. You only have so much of it. And what you need to do is begin to, as a solo entrepreneur, begin to outsource, hire, you know, whether you contract someone or employ someone, it doesn't matter the mechanics of how you have people working for you, but you need to build a team. You can't do it all yourself. And when we try and do it all ourselves, we know that we can't manage it at one point or another. Things, we're going to slow ourselves down. And it's interesting, on my Facebook profile, I put a question out there, what question would you ask me? And a few people were asking me about staffing and expanding our staff. And, you know, one of the beliefs I always have is always be hiring, always be thinking about who can you bring on, you know, always thinking about the next step ahead. And when we hire before we need people, that will make a huge difference. That stops us from that stutter. You know, when we get, you know, our bandwidth goes, we lose our capacity. We're kind of at capacity. And what happens then is we begin to shrink back. We can't do it all. And when you can't do it all, things begin to fall off the plate, as I call it. You know, they fall off the desk, all of a sudden crash in the middle of the night. It's like, didn't get that done because I was doing these 25,000 other things. And what happens is we begin to bottleneck our success. We crush our momentum. And that can be the biggest, you know, biggest crushing thing for our business. You know, begin to get some momentum, but if you can't keep it going, you're going to be in trouble. So start to think about, how are you bottlenecking your success? What are the tasks that you don't love doing and therefore kind of put off? We all have a few of those. Or what are some tasks that you're not very good at and they take you way longer than they need to? And therefore, you're probably not doing them as often as you should. You know, those types of things. Like, think about what are you weakest at? What don't you like doing? Or what can someone else do cheaper than yourself? Because when we begin to outsource or hire out or, you know, staff up or virtual assistants or whatever, however method we use, but when we begin to have other people doing work for us and leave the high-yield, you know, revenue-generating work for ourselves, that will help us keep our momentum going and actually will help us build momentum because you'll have more time to invest in the tasks that really will make the biggest impact for your business. So that's really an important thing to factor into, is consider and stop and think about this, is where are you impeding your success by getting in your own way? And I think that we all are. And if you're listening in, then post in the chat where you think you're kind of getting in to your you know, where you're holding yourself back. So consider that, you know, and I do this often, and Megan, my assistant, is great at reminding me of this one, because, you know, when you have other people doing work for you, they're not going to do it exactly like you, okay? It's a reality check. You can hire people like you, but they're not going to work like you. And so consequently, it's that good enough, you know, and recognize that sometimes people are going to do things not the way you want them to. They're going to do things maybe less than you'd like them to, but frankly, frequently, they'll do things better than you would do. They bring things to the table. They bring skill sets and knowledge and information that you don't have. And if you've hired well, then you begin to expand your success. You begin to, you know, get that momentum even going faster because you have other people contributing to it. So good enough is good enough, and get it done is more important than not getting it done and, you know, getting in your own way of success. So don't be the bottleneck of your business. Let's move on to number four. And one of this is also will help you build more momentum, and that is to eliminate energy drains and distractions. You know, I call them shiny penny squirrels and alligators. And a couple weeks ago, I told the story about the alligators that my dad would use. And, you know, those are all the things that kind of show up. And sometimes they look really good. Sometimes those shiny pennies are really shiny. And we might even think they're like a quarter or a loonie or toonie. And we think that there's value to them. And we want to go after them. Well, shiny pennies and squirrels and alligators are often what's causing you to lose momentum because you're distracting yourself with other things. And so eliminating those distractions and really beginning to think each day, what can you subtract from your day? And that goes back to the last point about outsourcing or, you know, having a team. So when you subtract things from your list and put them on someone else's list, they still get done. But when you start subtracting things, you begin to create more space, and more space will allow you to build more momentum. So my question for you here is, are you doing or trying to do too much? Are you trying to do too many things? And that's a real key factor. If you're trying to do too many things, chances are you're not doing them all well enough. And when you hit that capacity level, you're going to begin to lose opportunities. So simplify. My message for you is simplify. Do less, focus more, and do more things consistently for bigger impact. So simplify should be something that you're constantly thinking about. That's tip number four. Number five is, oh my gosh, here's a challenging one that we often get to. is don't be afraid to fail. Yeah, I know. There's thousands and thousands of great quotes about how good failing is for us, right? But none of them really make it feel any better. When we fail, we kind of feel like a failure. We kind of feel like we sucked. But here's the thing is, if you're not failing enough, you're not growing enough. And I know it sounds like a simple platitude, but it is so true. You know, you cannot fear failure and grow your business. Think of it instead as you're experimenting your way to success. Everything's an experiment. You don't know if it's going to work or not. I often have clients asking me, well, Sue, if I do this, will that work? I don't know. I mean, it might not. We can look at the odds. We can look at the, you know, what's worked before, what other people have done. But ultimately, every time you try something new, it's something new. You're different. The task is different. Your marketplace is different. Your clientele is different. It's like your river. You can't step into the river at exactly the same spot because the water flows down. It's gone. And so every time you step in, it's something new. And even doing the same thing at different times in the year, sometimes they'll work, sometimes they won't. I recently did a survey, and in the past when I've done a survey, I've gotten hundreds and hundreds of respondents. This time, not so many. It's like, I don't know what was so different. There was nothing really different about the survey. There was nothing different about the email. My list is still my list. This time, it just didn't fly the same way, you know, didn't fly off the shelf like it did in other years. So you never know. So you have to just experiment your way to success. And here's the other thing, too, is one and done is not good enough. Because one opportunity, it could be a fluke. It could be the day. It could be, God knows, the virus. It could be, you know, racial issues. I mean, all sorts of weird things have been happening in this world that are outside of your control. So try everything at least two or three times. You know, just because it works doesn't work the first time doesn't mean it won't work at all. And sometimes you just need to tweak it or, you know, modify it or edit it or innovate it to give it a second go. You know, one of my clients, Cheryl, she was a new coach, and she was wanting to do a webinar because she had heard that webinars were the way to get clients. All right. So she plans her first webinar. And if you've ever done a webinar, you know that there's lots of moving pieces to it. There's the tech of it. There's the PowerPoint slides of it. There's the whole speaking, the presentation of it. There's making the offer. There's all of the, you know, components of doing a webinar. And so she was so gung-ho about this that she wanted to give it a go. So she created her slides, you know, planned the date, promoted the thing, the webinar. But she was so disappointed. She only had a couple attendees. She had some tech issues to boot. She didn't sell anything. And at the end of it, she goes, I'm never doing a webinar again. And I'm like going, wait a minute. You're throwing the baby with the bathwater out, all right? The webinar is not bad. It just sometimes you need to do it a couple times. And it is so true is you need to do it again. So I made her schedule it again. And on the fourth time, she made her first sale. And by the seventh time, she was selling multiples. So she'd quit after the first time and said, that's not for me. Think of how much she would have missed out. You know, quite literally tens of thousands of dollars because she perfected it as she went. You know, I love the Navy SEALs mantra. They say, if it doesn't suck, we don't do it. And I think that's a really good one. If it doesn't suck, you know, we don't do it. In other words, they kind of expect things to suck. They expect things to fail. They expect to have to overcome. And, you know, if we have that mentality in life that, you know, everything I'm going to do may not be a home run, but let's just go do it, and we'll perfect it as we go. So don't be afraid to fail. Really a key point. And I know, as I said, there's tons of quotes on failure. And when you do fail, it hurts. It stings. Sometimes you fail big, and sometimes you fail little. None of them are always in something joyful that you want to do, but always look at it from the flip side of it. You're moving closer to success. Each failure will take you closer to success, so move forward with that. Number six is double down on what works. Ah, now we're flipping over to the good side of things. So here's the thing is when something is working, do more of it. I know that sounds really obvious, but I can't tell you the number of times that clients, they're like, you know, they're doing something, it's perking along, it's doing its thing, they're happy with it, but all of a sudden they want to throw a wrench in the gears because they're off trying to do something new. And I'm like going, wait a minute, what you're doing is working, so do more of it. pour gasoline on it, as I like to say. Like, let's light it up. And so don't think that you have to switch things out. You know, if it's working, do more of it. Don't switch to flavor of the day. Don't get distracted with squirrels and pennies, right? You want to, you know, when you have a winning combination, you want to do more of it. And I know sometimes it kind of can get boring. I've been there where I've done something and it works, and after a while I'm thinking, oh, this old thing, you know, this old, it's like the favorite dress that you had once, and after a while you think, oh, this old dress, I want something new. I want to go to the store and buy something prettier, something newer. But hey, if that old dress or that old thing, that old marketing strategy is what's bringing you clients, don't give it up. So you really want to make sure that you continue. You really absolutely want to make sure that you're, you know, if it's working, keep working it. Keep working it. Double down on what's working. When you find that winning combination, think of me, pour gas on it, and do it again and again and again, and accelerate the amount of times you do it. And that will also help you build more momentum. All right, so let's move into our last point, which is number 7. And that's all about commitment and accountability. The two words that probably most of us don't love to hear. You know, daily, consistent, positive momentum moves your business forward. And, you know, we talked all about some of our earlier points about consistency is king, focus on relentless implementation. Well, that commitment to those things, being accountable to yourself for finding an accountability partner or friend or mentor or coach or whatever, but or personal responsibility, as I like to call it, you need to actually do the work. And to do that, you need to be committed and hold yourself accountable to get it done. Business growth takes focus. To build momentum, it takes focus, particularly the inertia, breaking through from a dead stop into getting that momentum and building the momentum. But you also need to keep it going. And how that looks is through, quite literally, commitment and accountability. You know, I love this mantra, do one more thing. You know, sell something every day. You know, it's so interesting how we stop ourselves. And if we just upped our, you know, that 1 degree focus, that 1 degree shift, if we did one more thing on a consistent basis, if we got rid of our stagnating thoughts where we kind of stop ourselves when we think, well, that's good enough, I'm tired, I don't want to do more. But if you just did one more thing, if you made one more Facebook post, if you invested one more outbound call, if you connected with one more person, you know, when we really have that commitment and the accountability of holding ourselves firm to doing the work, you know, that's really the motto at the end of the day, is do the work. And when we do the work consistently and we are focused on implementation and we do the right things, that's where we'll build that momentum. And we'll expand our business not only in speed of velocity of growth, but also in mass and the amount of revenue that you can make. You know, it multiplies. It really does. But it takes momentum to get it going and to move ourselves forward. So my final thoughts on momentum are success attracts success. Momentum breeds or brings more momentum. And the other thing, too, is to consider, you know, your capacity to handle more business will grow as you grow. It can be scary sometimes. You know, I'll start working with a client, and I know that they're focusing on getting more business in the door. And I'll ask them, so if you got 5 clients today, could you handle it? And often the answer is like a big gulp. And they go, maybe no. And so, you know, it can be scary. Rapid growth can be scary. I know it's something we all want, but when we get faced with it. And here's the thing, is just believe and know that your capacity to handle increased business will grow as you grow. You know, and that's really something to consider. So don't let that fear of, oh, my God, I might not be able to handle it, or I might not be able to keep it all together. You have to really believe that you can grow into it as the business grows. And don't ever stop or quash your momentum, because the inertia to get it going again is just so much harder than to keep it going. So keep always that focus on, you know, on growth. Keep things happening. Never come to a dead stop, or you'll lose out. You'll lose months worth of revenue. and revenue growth by stopping. So always be focused on moving forward. Even if it's small incremental activities, they'll make a huge impact at the end of the day. And so I just want to wrap this up by saying, before we move to the Q&A, and if you, I should pause for a second. I've been missing Megan here today. But if you have any questions, don't hesitate. If you're on the phone lines, to press star 2. I see a bunch of folks there. And if you're on the chat, you can post your questions in the Q&A box, and I will be very pleased to answer your questions. We've got a few that were submitted that we'll jump into in just a moment. But if you are really serious about building momentum, then I want to just share with you an opportunity that I have coming up. It's my Revenue Accelerator Program. It is designed to see how much revenue you can generate in 90 days. And ultimately, I'm looking for people who are ambitious and really want to, like, say, double their revenue in the next 90 days. And how we do that is through our social media marketing. That's one of the strategies that I teach. And it is really about having the momentum. It is about figuring out what are the best high-yield activities and consistently doing them in a group environment, so you're getting lots of support and guidance and training, and, of course, one-on-one coaching, because things don't always go as they plan. We always need that outside information that will help us tweak and fine-tune so that we can accelerate our success. You know, I always like to think of it as when you can follow someone else's footprints. You know, if you can put your foot right where their foot was, you can actually move forward faster. So don't worry about leveraging other people's successes. It's part of momentum building. And so if you are interested in exploring that, there's no website. It's not a click-and-buy program. It is kind of through conversation with me. But if you're interested in finding out more information on that, you can just reach out to me on social media, or sue@sueclement.com is my email address. You're welcome to email me, and let's hop on the phone and have a conversation. Okay, so let us move into our questions and answers once again. If you're on the phone line, don't be shy. It's kind of fun when people want to, you know, jump on the call and we can have a conversation. That's so much nicer, because some of the questions are hard to answer without all the background. Or, of course, if you're listening in on the webcast or on the broadcast, either one, you can always post your questions in the Q&A box. So let's go. The first question is, I'm going to sip some water, from Sylvia. And Sylvia actually asked this question yesterday on, or was it the day before, but on my Facebook page. I'd put a little post up there saying, if you had a question, what would you want to know? And one of the questions that she asked was, would an idea of a new business be feasible to bring into the market now, and how would you know in advance? Okay. So not knowing really, Sylvia, what, and I don't know, Sylvia, if you're on the webcast, you know, jump in and say hi on the chat so that I know you're here. That would be kind of cool. And I'm just kind of popping into the chat myself to see how that's looking. And so if you are, you can jump in and say hello, but otherwise, let me just jump back to that question. Sort of click on my phone. I hope I didn't disconnect. And we talked about mistakes doing webinars. One of my clients, that was funny. I once did a webinar and I was on mute the whole time. So we all do these little faux pas in life. I had to do it again because that mute button kind of got me that day. Anyways, back on to starting a new business be feasible to the market now. I think we're kind of thinking about this, you know, pandemic kind of environment that we're in and the unstable marketplace that we have. It really depends on what the business is. But, you know, ultimately, I really feel that, yes, the marketplace, the economy will impact our business to some degree. But all businesses, it's interesting, there are always people who excel during downtimes. And so I think a lot of it is to look at what's possible and what type of products you have. If it is something that you really feel that the marketplace needs and wants and can use, then go for it. That's my point of view. Now, if it's one of these ones that, you know, it can't be a touchless service, which is, seems to be the buzzwords for the day, if you're selling to consumers, then, yeah, you want to really contemplate, would it work in this marketplace, you know, are consumers buying that service today? If they're not, then it's probably not the best choice. But if it is a business-to-business service, businesses are still out there. They're still working. They're still performing. Many, many of my clients are doing extraordinarily well, even in these difficult or tough markets. So I don't really think that the marketplace, other than the viability of the business, is to consider. So look at the viability. If it does seem to be viable, then go for it. And how do you know in advance? Well, you know, look into the marketplace to see, you know, what are consumers buying. So once again, I don't know what you're selling, whether it's a service or a product, but kind of analyze, you know, is there a marketplace right now? Is there a market for what you have? Does the market want it? You might do a survey. One of my other clients, I tasked him with the challenge this last week, is to go out and phone 5 people in his business community and have a conversation with them. So he's doing like a Q&A, kind of a survey type of call with them to understand what their problems are, what their challenges are, and whether or not they have a need for what he's thinking of selling. So that's a cool thing to go out and do, is to reach out to, you know, people in the community and just invite them to have a virtual coffee with you, so to speak. Take a few minutes of, you know, 5 or 10 minutes of their time, and ask them questions about whether they'd be interested in buying this type of service. Not that you're trying to sell it to them, but more from a fact-finding or you know, informative perspective. So, Sylvia, I hope that was helpful for you, and I hope that made a difference for you. All right, the next question up, let's see, is Joanne. Joanne says, Sue, how do you handle it when things don't go the way you want and you feel like you're always failing? Ooh, ooh. You know, Joanne, I think if that's where you're feeling right now, you know, I don't think you're alone in that, because I think many of us have had failures. And sometimes the failures are just micro failures, but we kind of make them, we put the spotlight on them, and we make them way bigger than they are. I know I certainly can get into that myself, where, you know, I'll get one kind of negative comment or one failure, and I'll feel like, oh, everything's a failure. So, you know, what do you do? Well, there's a couple of different ways. I mean, there's lots of different things we can all do when we get, you know, faced with adversity, when we feel like things aren't going the way we want them to. And it's tough, too, when we have failure after failure, when, you know, we get multiple failures in a row, it can really begin to think, you're ready to throw your hat in the corner and say, I'm not doing this anymore. But here's the thing is, you know, I find for myself, when I get to that really challenge point of view where I feel like nothing seems to be working, is I think the best thing for me to do is take a big step back and get out of the box, as I call it, you know, and the box being your office. Step away from the desk, step away from the computer, step away from all your devices, your electronics, and, you know, do what makes you happy, what brings you joy. If you love baking, then go bake something. If you love playing with your kids or your dog, go play with your kids or dog. I love driving. I hop in my Corvette. You know, nothing makes me feel more excited and happy when I can get in the car, particularly if it's a nice day and not raining, pop the roof off, and, you know, go for a drive. You know, do something that brings you joy. Whether you want to walk in the woods or whether you want to paint something or play music, dance, you know, have a dance party in your living room. But do a real state change. And I think that that's one of the things that we sometimes, you know, when we're stuck working, we think that we can't stop working. Well, if things aren't working well and you're feeling like a failure, there's no point going into that negative momentum. We haven't really talked about that today. We talked about moving, you know, spiraling up. But sometimes we can spiral down. And rather than going in that negative momentum and getting sucked down lower and lower and lower, and suddenly we begin to gunny sack, you know, this didn't work and that didn't work and that probably won't work and I'm not going to do that next week because, oh, I'm going to fail at that one too. And, you know, I'm kind of piling it on. But, you know, when we get into that negative spiral of things, when things aren't going the way we want, and regardless of how many times we try and switch it and change it, and we feel almost like, I don't know what else to do, get out of the box. Take a step back. Find and do something that brings you joy. Because you need to reconnect with your spirit that says, I'm good. I'm successful. I can do this. Find something that brings you joy. Feel competent. Feel successful. Feel laughter. Get some energy. Get some movement. You know, some people like to journal, write, you know. But don't go into a pity party. You know, try and immediately write down 10 things that you're excellent at. think about 10 things, you know, that you, or three things. Maybe it doesn't need to be 10. It could be three things that you, you know, three wins that you had this last week. What was something that you did yesterday that was successful? Maybe you stretched and phoned somebody. Maybe you did a Facebook post and you got some likes on it. Whatever. You know, and maybe you just got out of bed. All right? But write down some wins or write down what you're grateful for. Another one that I've heard people say is to go and volunteer. Help people who are, you know, worse off than you are in that moment. And it shifts your perspective. But ultimately, if you feel like things aren't going your way and you feel like you're kind of failing a little bit more and you're losing that momentum, is stop. Have a state change. Reconnect with what's possible, what's good, and what brings you joy. And I think that that's really the turning point. You know, take a breather. Sometimes if you have to walk out of your office and take the rest of the day off, if you can, of course, if you have client commitments, you need to honor those. But ultimately, if you can, you know, step back from it, clear your mind. Because the time that you lose from stepping back from it is going to be, you know, you're gaining momentum because when you come back at it the next day, you'll be really fresh and ready to go. I have spent hours, you know, stuck and really thinking what a waste of time that was. You know, and so if you're feeling down and stuck and like you've failed, then just go do something else. That's the best advice I can give you. And then when you come back to it, come back with a fresh perspective, a new point of view, and then deconstruct what didn't work. This is the thing, is, you know, throwing babies and bathwaters out. So don't do that. Go back and kind of analyze it. And from a subjective point of view, pardon me, let me, got that one wrong, from an objective point of view, all right, take yourself out of the equation and look at it from a third-party perspective, is what worked, what didn't work. Chances are it probably wasn't all a failure. Chances are there were some really good things in the mix. You just need to tweak, edit, modify, and then test it out and do it again. So that's how I would suggest you handle when things don't go your way and you feel like you're failing because that downward momentum. Don't go down with the ship, okay? You want to be able to move past that. All right, so let's go back. I'm going to check and see if there's any more questions in the Q&A box. And once again, I want to see who's on the phone call. Whoops. And if you are on the call and you have a question, don't hesitate to raise your hand. You can press star 2 on your phone pad and raise your hand. And if you're in the chat or in the broadcast or webcast, you can just post your question. And here's another question for you. What's the best, this is from Sandy, what's the best marketing strategy for a consultant? Huh, interesting question. Well, you know, I think when it comes to marketing, there's a few things we want to look at. You know, we want to have visibility in marketing. We want to build our credibility. And then we want, you know, I always think the VCP equation, visibility, credibility, profitability. And so, you know, when it comes to marketing, think about how you can get more visible. And here's the other thing, too. I just want to address this because I think a lot of people are over-relying on inbound marketing. I know inbound marketing was a real, you know, everyone talks about inbound marketing where we put out content and people love the content. That's visibility. And that's great. And we, you know, put out lots of content, and then we sit back and wait for them to come to us, inbound. People come into us. And I think that really when it comes to marketing your business, you need a strategy for both. Yes, you need visibility out there so people get to know who you are and what makes you special and what's your magic, and you're giving them, you know, information that's helpful for them, and they think, wow, this person really knows their stuff. That's an important part of visibility. But I think that needs to be balanced in today's world. I think that we can't just, you know, have a great website and do content marketing and blog and do podcast and, you know, put marketing content out there. That's great, but we need to be able to pull the nets in. You know, for fishing, you know, if you're fishing with nets, you've put all the nets out there. Well, if you never go back and bring the net into the boat, chances are you've got a whole bunch of fish in your net, but you're not bringing them into the boat. And so when I think about marketing, it's kind of that as well. I really believe in an outbound marketing as much as an inbound marketing. And I know, you know, outbound marketing, a lot of people go, ooh, I don't want to do that. And they may not want to do that. But actually, you know, outbound or direct outreach, as I call it, is the fastest way to get clients. It truly is the fastest way to get clients. And so, yes, you need to get in front of prospects. You need to, you know, determine who what prospects are out there and what leads they are. And, of course, it depends on the nature of your business and, how you want to approach people. But your social media marketing, it's a huge opportunity. You can attract people really easy on social media. You can get conversations going on social media. And then you can convert those conversations to potential prospects if you feel that they're a prospect, and have and do an outbound direct reach to them to say, hey, I got something cool, can I share it with you? Are you interested in it? Always ask for permission, but social media is a fabulous way to market your business. And actually, tomorrow with the Langley Chamber of Commerce, tomorrow being June the 11th, in case you're listening to this later, but with the Langley Chamber of Commerce, I'm doing a whole webinar training on social media networking and how you can actually convert your friends and followers into prospects and clients. And so if you're interested in that and you're listening to this, whether it's live or after the fact, you can reach out to me and I can share that link. And also if you go to any of my social media pages on Facebook or LinkedIn, you'll see that I've had posts going this week inviting people to join the Langley Chamber of Commerce event. But, that's what I'll be talking all about tomorrow, is how to actually leverage your network on social media to bring your clients. And, I can share with you all sorts of cool examples of clients of mine who have done that. In 1 week, I landed over $35,000 worth of revenue just based on me using social media as a way to gain visibility and credibility, and then doing the direct outreach where I got the fish in the boat. And, brought people in to have conversations with me, and they were a fit, and they signed up. So it is a faster way to get money in the door. If you are, looking for a quicker revenue stream or a faster revenue conversion, then you do want to have outbound marketing mixed in with your inbound marketing. And so that's the answer, Sandy. I hope that helped you. If you have any further questions, don't hesitate to post them. And that's that question. So once again, if you have any questions, don't hesitate to post them in the chat or raise your hand, press star 2. I'm just going to look at the phone pad to see if anyone has done so yet. No, you guys are being quiet today. All right, we've got one more question here. Let me go back to where it was. This is an interesting one. How do I market when I work with two very different groups of people? Well, Stephen, I'm not sure what your two different groups of people are. And that's also a thought, when we think about it, is if you are selling, my initial reaction is, why? Why do you have two different groups of people or two different target markets? Usually when we have our business, we tend to have, one target market that can move from one product to the next or one service to the next. So it's like the same population we're dealing with, but it's more of an evolution. Like people can work with me in a group environment, but they can also work with me on a one-on-one environment, and they can also work with me in a free environment, like in my Facebook group. So, often it's the same population, but just different layers of my time, of me time, so to speak, whether they work with me in a group or one-on-one. So generally, if you have two very different types of people, then it's almost like having two businesses. And so you have to allocate your time accordingly. And one of the decisions of that is to recognize which one has the biggest revenue stream and which one, is more, maybe one's more passive than the other, where it's kind of a click and buy service or product that you have out there. And, so you can do that. Or whether you hire people who can, run one business while you run the other. So it's really a very difficult topic to answer that one. So when you work with two different groups of people, it's really about you allocating your time accordingly and your resources accordingly so that you're not suffering one or the other. And I really would also evaluate the yield or potential dollar yield of each marketplace and say, well, focus on what brings you the most money. If money is important to you, if it's not, then focus on what brings you the most joy. So kind of look at it from that point of view. So, Stephen, a short, quick answer, but I hope that made the difference. All right, so I don't see any more questions, so I think we're going to wrap up today. Once again, all about momentum. Let me just kind of do a quick dance back through our topic on momentum. Remember that momentum will build both mass, meaning dollars, and velocity, meaning speed, to your business. And if without momentum, you're going to always have that stop-start, and it's going to be that inertia burn that you're always going to have to put too much effort in to get things going. And so if you want to have an effortless business, one of the best things you can do is build the momentum so that the momentum continues and carries your business forward without you having to kind of really, really, really put a lot of work into it. But it takes work to get going. So some things to remember is consistency is king. You need to have that consistent activity, that consistent action. If you're going to build momentum, always focus on relentless implementation. Actions create momentum. Momentum creates results. You want to always want to be implementing and not getting stuck. Number three is don't forget to be not to be the bottleneck in your business. Leverage yourself as quickly as you can and hire or outsource people who can do your work for you, the work that you don't like or you don't do well or someone can do cheaper than you. Number four was eliminate all those energy drains, distractions, shiny penny squirrels, and alligators. You want to simplify. Do less, focus more. What can you subtract from your day is really key. Number five is don't be afraid to fail. We all talked about fail and that persistence that's needed to keep ourselves moving in the momentum mode. And, of course, we want to double down on what works. That was number six. Do more of what works, even if it feels boring to you. If it's working, continue to do it, pour gas on it, and do more of it. And number seven boils down to the commitment and accountability. We need both of those things if we're going to stay on the track of forward momentum. And if you want to have more momentum in your business, please reach out to me. Let's hop on the phone and have a phone conversation. If you're on the webcast, you can see a button in the top right-hand corner that says Roadmap to Seven Figures. It's my Facebook group. Please come join my Facebook group. Love to connect with you there. And so, everyone, thank you for listening live or after the fact. It's been great to have you online with us today. And stay tuned for next week on Wednesday, our weekly Wednesday Roadmap to Revenues. We're going to have a great call next Wednesday, so I hope to see you then. And today I'm going to lead out with a different recording. I'm going to be talking, I'm going to be singing along with Natasha Bedingfield, and I love this song, so I hope you do too. Have a great day, everyone. Talk to you next week. Before you open up the dirty window, let the sun illuminate.